Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Titles in 6 years. Yes, it is worth cheering for.
Welcome back to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. Dave Melton, your host again this evening, coming to you at a very, very strange time. Is strange is probably not an accurate enough word for it, but we're here to talk about some things, talk about maybe some hockey things, some other things, because obviously hockey isn't much going on right now. So we're just going to talk about whatever comes up over the course of the next 30 to 40 minutes or so. And with me is one of the usual suspects whose voice you've usually heard on this airwaves, coming to you from a fog-filled area in parts unknown of southern Illinois. It is Shepherd Price.
Hi, I don't know where I am right now.
That sounds less than good.
I'm like pulled up at a McDonald's. I just got dinner. It's like the first time I've had McDonald's in years because I'm just afraid of going anywhere else at the moment. So just sitting here with a vanilla shake in hand.
How is the sun down completely for you? Well, it's almost 8:30, so I imagine it is by now, right?
It is. Sun is down. It is dark, and there is fog. I am on the set of a Stephen King movie.
The Mist. Did you read the book?
I just watched the movie. I did not see the book.
Okay. The book is pretty good too, and it was obviously slightly different than the movie. The book I felt like was even more creepy because it went into really big detail about like when all the people start losing their minds and when they're all cooped up in the grocery store for a day or two. And the ending of the movie was never – I hope if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about, and we don't need to go into it any further. If you're unfamiliar with it, it's just awful. So that's all I'm going to say about it.
And the book's ending is I know about the book's ending, and that book is that the book ending is better.
I agree. The book ending is a lot better, and I won't spoil it because I imagine somebody listening to this might have a lot of time on their hands and might decide to go read the book. It's very good. Highly, highly recommend.
Actually, you might have – it depends on how much time we have in this social distancing situation, but you might have all the time in the world to read all of Stephen King.
It took me like 6 years to get through all the Dark Power books that he wrote, and there's seven of those. I mean, granted, it was – anybody that actually sits down and does it, it probably would take you significantly less time. But, I mean, you can read The Stand. That's like 1,700 pages. That's a good week or two right now, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
And like and you have time. You don't have any some people don't have anything else to do right now. So
that's true. Yeah, there's
1,700 words might be like a few days.
Free time. I read that book in about a week and a half, and most of that time was while on a family vacation in Minnesota where there's nothing to do but fish or eat, and I was like 14, so I couldn't drink at the time. So it was eat, fish, or read a book, and I read most of The Stand in that week. So there you go.
Yeah, there we go. I would also highly recommend reading the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series, which is my favorite book series, by Douglas Adams.
Okay.
That should take up a good amount of time.
I'm also big into I might go back into it, the Red Rising trilogy, which I don't know if you're familiar with this. Kind of in a similar, I couldn't say similar Stephen King vein, but it's like in a dystopic future world. And actually, I think they've added a fourth book now that I'm supposed to, I need to reread the first three so I can get back to the fourth one. But that's a really good trilogy on quadology. I don't know. What do you call it when there's four?
Series.
Yeah, there you go. The Red Rising series. read those. Those are good too. We're already doing book suggestions in the first few minutes, which is pretty much a good way to summarize the way things are going in the hockey world right now. Obviously addressing the elephant in the room of the coronavirus pandemic that is affecting everybody right now. I don't think there's anyone that could possibly claim that they haven't been somehow had their daily lives altered by what is happening in the world. We wanted to mention it briefly, and then we're going to move away and talk about some other things, because I don't know about you, Shepard, but it's not that I'm getting sick of hearing about it, but it's just sometimes it's goddamn everywhere. And sometimes I just need to hear about something else other than that.
It's also taking away our favorite things.
Away a lot of our favorite things. And really quickly, wanted to touch on some of the news that broke today, that all of the junior leagues in Canada have canceled the rest of their regular season. The WHL, the OHL, and the QMJHL, their regular seasons are done. And I think they're also the playoffs. I'm guessing that it means the playoffs aren't going to happen either, right?
I believe so. And also the USHL did the same thing. And I know ESPN mentioned that the USHL was looking to mimic the NHL. So that could be a sign of things to come.
Yeah. And then the AHL is in a similar state as the NHL, to where their seasons are postponed and there's been no update about when they're going to resume play or if they're going to resume play, what the playoff situation looks like. Haven't been any updates in that regard yet. And I think that takes care of most of the ECHL canceled the rest of their season.
And so did the SPHL.
And so did the SPHL. And do we have any other hockey leagues to reference?
The SHL was already done. The KHL is being asked by a few teams now to suspend playoffs, but they continue to go ahead. If you want to watch hockey, watch the KHL is, I think, the news right now.
Yeah, that's about all you got. And I don't even know how to watch the KHL.
If you know how to watch the KHL, get at us on the Twitters.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, because I might just to see some live hockey. I wouldn't be totally opposed to it. And then in terms of NHL news, about the only thing that we can offer up is that the NHL the most recent update we have is that the NHL was telling its players that wanted to return to their home countries that they were allowed to do so if they wanted to go back and spend time with their families. So that is a thing that's happened with the NHL. And is there anything else you can think of as a recent NHL update?
Draft probably being suspended, I guess.
Did they confirm that they've?
I think people are just guessing at it right now.
Okay.
That it's just going to be delayed. It's just going to be delayed, but every other draft is being delayed, I think.
And neither you nor I have any sort of medical background, so we're not even going to pretend to make any sort of estimates about what could or might happen. But in terms of just a kind of a timeline to kind of figure out where things are going, because one thing that Bill Daly, who's the NHL vice president, he's got a high-ranking position.
He's basically the next commissioner, in all honesty.
Okay, there you go. That's a good way to summarize him. But I believe he had a comment today of saying that one thing that they did not want to jeopardize is the next season, the 2021 season. So with that in mind, if you look at some of the other abbreviated seasons that they've had in the past, the main season I'm going back to is the 2013 lockout season when the Blackhawks won the cup. Such a fun season.
Yep.
We all had great fun during that. But I remember that was because of the way the schedule worked out, where they didn't start till actual 2013 calendar year. And then they played the condensed 48-game schedule, the playoffs. The Blackhawks won the cup on June 24th, which is very late in the month of June, comparatively speaking, because when they won the cup in 2015, they got that one on June 15th. So maybe not as late as I thought. But still, if you start getting into July, that's when you're starting to affect the schedule with the draft and free agency. And that's when you might start bumping up against that 2020-2021 NHL season. It's really hard to say. But this is when you might start bumping up against the next NHL season, which they've been telling us that they don't want to do. So if you're looking for any sort of indication about timelines and when decisions might get made about postponement and all that, I think that's something to keep in mind, is that they're trying not to affect the next season with the end of this season. So if this thing starts carrying on into April and getting into May, that's when I think some timelines, that's when the concern will get raised to a higher notch that we may not be getting any more hockey the rest of the season, which with the way the things have gone for the Blackhawks, I think we'd all rather see a Blackhawks game no matter whether or not it had playoff ramifications or not. But I imagine anybody that's a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning is significantly more worried because of how good that team has been and the way they were looking like cup contenders. So,
yeah. And anybody who's a fan of the Vegas Golden Knights is relieved because both Maxi Pacioretty and Mark Stone will have time to recover.
I feel slightly guilty about this. I picked up Vladimir Tarasenko into my fantasy hockey league just in the potential that they resume in like May and he's healthy to play for like a 2-week regular season. And then he puts me over the top for a fantasy hockey championship that I otherwise will definitely not win. So
there is no reason to feel guilty about that. That's a smart play.
Yeah, well, I had to make up for the fact that I let Morgan Riley go, and he came back, and I lost the bid for him. So, you know, had to get my production somewhere. We were talking about some things before the show, and I wanted to get a quick idea out there. Have you thought of any playoff scenarios about just any things that might be off the wall? Like, if there was ever a time for the NHL and the NBA to do something kind of off the cuff and interesting, just to kind of, you know, give when fingers crossed the games come back, there's ever time to do something goofy, this would be the time. Either a full 31 team tournament or there's like, I saw somebody mention something about 24 teams with like 3-game series. Have you had any thoughts about some weird playoff scenarios that they might come up with just to give us hockey when it comes back?
I like the idea of the 24. So first things first, I don't think we're getting any more regular season games. I think we've played the last of it. If that's the case, I think the Blackhawks ended on a really high note. I believe that game where Patrick Kane probably had his best game of the season, and Alex DeBrincat had 2 goals. I think that was, or three. He was either 2 goals or 3 assists. I think that was our last game of the season. Dominik Kubalik hit 30 goals. I think that's a fantastic end to the season.
There is that.
But in terms of playoffs, I like the idea of 24 game of a 24 set tournament. I think it would probably be one game for the first series. So those first 8 teams, or what would it be? 16 teams playing for 8 spots.
Yeah, I think that'd probably like
be
that.
Yeah, that'd probably be a one game play-in. And then I think it's going to be shortened playoffs no matter what. So probably sets of either 5 or 3 until the Stanley Cup final, and then it's going to be a 7-game Stanley Cup final because you can't shorten the Stanley Cup final.
No, you know, no. I think, yeah, you can shorten the other runs, but you got to do 7 for the cup just because it's
the cup. Like you can't win the cup. You can't win the cup in 5 games. This is not the 1800s.
Yeah. So We'll keep you updated. If any news does break at with the NHL, check out secondcityhockey.com. We will either one of the two of us or Brandon Kane. We might jump in at some point. I know he had some other things going on this evening. He might make an appearance, but somebody will have an update if there's anything to be updated. But in the meantime, Shepard, you're on the road. You're on your way back from school, right? You were driving from Texas all the way to the Chicagoland area? Is that what
I took a spring break finally for the first time in my academic career in somewhere tropical. That somewhere tropical was New Orleans, which shut down on the second day of my vacation. So I'm driving straight up from New Orleans to Illinois all the way in one drive.
Oh my God. That sounds awful.
It's actually a shorter distance than it would be from Austin, Texas.
If you I guess Austin's further west.
Austin is further west, which makes it like a triangle. New Orleans is like a straight up drive.
Okay. So how long, if you just drove straight from New Orleans to, we'll just call it Chicago, without stopping, how long would that take?
13 and a half hours.
That's not so bad.
No.
But you're currently lost because of the fog of Southern Illinois.
Yes. Currently just like stuck somewhere. I have Google Maps. My phone is plenty charged and it stays charged throughout the drive because I just keep plugged in. So I am not going to get lost. Nobody worry about me. I'll just get back later than anticipated.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we hope you'll be safe. And just so everyone knows, he's not talking and driving. He's like you said, you sitting in a McDonald's parking lot or inside a McDonald's or something?
I'm sitting, I think all restaurants in Illinois now have been banned from anything Correct. With takeaway. Yep. So I'm sitting in the parking lot talking to you because that's where it's safest.
Yeah. So what's been like? I mean, you were down on a college campus in Austin, and what was it like as the news started coming out and then things started getting closed down? Like, how quickly did your campus shut down?
So as soon as the president of the University of Texas's wife was, I think, the first official case of coronavirus in the city. Austin was one of the last major cities to get coronavirus. I don't know how. I think it's probably just testing or something like that. But Austin was one of the last major cities to get it. As soon as that news broke, university done. University is closed down. We had already been given an extra week of spring break, which is why I'm heading back up to Illinois. After that, we're moving online. I am a TA at the University of Texas right now. I will be teaching online classes the rest of the semester.
Okay. Well, yeah. And since you're coming back to the area, I think you probably saw the update that Brandon Kane posted on secondcityhockey.com, but you'll have some games to watch when you come back home. They won't be live games, but NBC Sports Chicago is re-airing 16 games from the Blackhawks. Excuse me, all 16 victories from the 2010 Stanley Cup run. It started last night, which would be Tuesday night because we're recording this Wednesday evening. It was the opening game game two against the Nashville Predators because they lost game one of that series. And I sat and watched a good 30 to 45 minutes of it before I had to leave. And I was way more into it than I ever thought I would have been because I don't know how much you ever got into torrenting, Shepard, but I have just about every Blackhawks victory playoff victory from the last decade on an external hard drive because of a few torrent websites that are no longer in existence because I think they got shut down. And I would go back every now and then. I would like put one of these games on and kind of like watch it off to the side and never really got that interested in it. It would just be more like background noise or distractions while I was doing something else. I was enthralled by every second of this game last night. And I think it's kind of a combination of just not having any sports at all to watch right now and being able to compare what the Blackhawks have looked like the last few seasons with one of the best teams in the franchise's history. So, I mean, I imagine now that you're coming back to the Chicagoland area and you'll have access, are you going to be watching some of these games too?
I mean, besides doing productive things during the day, I will have nothing to do, as anybody else. And I am addicted to sports. It is why I chose this profession. So, if there's no sports on TV besides NASCAR, which is what it appears to be the only thing left, then yeah, of course I'm going to put on whatever hockey game I can get.
And as simultaneously with the Blackhawks games, they're also doing all the Bulls victories from the 1996, I think, their run to the NBA final, which is with the Jordan era Bulls, which I think I'm almost more intrigued to watch them just because. Let's see. It was 1996. So how old were you then, Shepard?
I was 1 year old.
God damn it! That makes me feel old. I was only nine, but I vividly remember watching Game 4 of the Bulls and Heat series because I remember telling my uncle, "Don't lock the broom in the closet just yet," because the Bulls are making a comeback, and then they ended up losing Game 4, and I'm guessing they also lost Game 5. Because it says here they're only airing games 1, 2, and 1, 2, and 3 from the Heat series. So maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know, but I remember telling my uncle, don't lock the broom in the closet, because I thought the Bulls were still going to finish off the sweep of the Heat. But maybe that was during game 3. I don't know. My Bulls memory is very fuzzy. But being able to watch the Jordan-era Bulls on TV in not quite high definition, but pretty as good quality as you're going to find anywhere else, I'm just as excited about that. Like, that's even more like watching the best basketball player of all time who was in Chicago for a while and kind of reliving that era. So are you going to watch the Bulls game too? I guess I should ask.
I am not yet a Bulls fan. I say not yet because I have followed one basketball player in my basketball fan career, and his name is Russell Westbrook, and he has never played for the Chicago Bulls.
Okay. Fair enough.
But when he retires, I will become a Bulls fan.
And you're obviously being slightly older than you. It's like, I can tell you that back in that time, like, you couldn't not be a Bulls fan. Even if it was just on a casual level, kind of like the way it was with the Blackhawks the last decade, is the Bulls were so good. They had the best player in the world. Michael Jordan was in every commercial. You just had to be a Bulls fan. I mean, they played in the same city. You're right here. You might as well get along with the party that everyone else is having, right?
Right. And as someone who grew up without Michael Jordan, he left the Bulls when I was 3 years old. My Bulls experience is like the best thing that ever happened to the Bulls in my tenure in life is the Derrick Rose MVP in like 2011.
Yeah, you missed out. Jordan was pretty great. I vividly remember going to one Bulls game. My dad got tickets to one Bulls game in the Jordan era that I was allowed to go to. So I think there was a few others that they got tickets to and other people went. I got to go during Jordan's last season in Chicago, and they lost to the freaking Indiana Pacers. And I've never let Reggie Miller – I've never forgiven him for that. And I still kind of hate the Pacers to this day just because of one game. It's kind of fun how one game can do all that for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's also the Indiana Pacers. They're as close to a rival, in-state rival as the Bulls will get.
Yeah, they're a pretty hateable team.
Speaking of the Bulls, and therefore, especially in their recent stretch, empty arenas, I heard you went to the last high school event probably this year, academic year.
First off, yes, I think it just might be the last sporting event this academic year. Thank you. Easy for me to say. But, yeah, I was at – on Saturday, some people might know I write for a local paper here in Northwest Indiana, and we have a very good concentration of high school gymnastics teams. I was down at the campus of Ball State where they host the gymnastics state finals, and it was kind of – you know, this happened last Saturday, and in the days leading up to – the meet is when everything started getting canceled with the NBA, the NHL, and it filtered down to high school levels. Like, I know Illinois postponed their boys basketball state tournament. I don't know about Illinois, but I know in Indiana the girls are done already. But the guys were in would be the equivalent of the quarterfinal round, the regionals. It was still regionals. They still had semi-state and state to go, and they're still postponed, still waiting to see what's going to happen with that. So while everything was getting canceled, they announced, This gymnastics meet is going to happen, but no fans were going to be allowed. And they usually get – I mean, you get down to state, there's usually 300, 400, maybe 500 people there. So it's not – you know, they're not going to fill the arena, but it's a noticeable volume level when you have that many people inside a small, confined basketball stadium, which it's at Worthen Arena, which is their basketball, volleyball, and gymnastics stadium. And the best word that I have for it, it was just kind of eerie because, like, during the competition, it's not so bad because, like, when they're doing their floor routines, they have music playing and, you know, the gymnasts are all cheering for each other. But every now and then there would just be, like, a break in the action and it would just be dead quiet. It sounded like a library. And it's not supposed to sound like that, especially at a state competition. So it was just it was so bizarre. And it was just really weird looking around and not seeing any seats in the crowd. And, I remember I was talking to, you know, one of the gymnasts she qualified there for the first time, and she was, I won't say she was tearing up, but you could tell she was kind of saddened by the fact that this is the first time she'd made it to this meet. She was a senior, and her mother wasn't there to watch. And so it kind of breaks your heart this is their only chance at it. These kids aren't pro athletes. The majority of those girls weren't going to be competing. You know, high school gymnasts usually don't go on to college gymnastics. That's more of a club thing. So, like, this is their last competition, and their own families couldn't even watch. Like, now there was a web stream, and parents were gathered at hotels or a local bar or like some people's houses. Like, there were watch parties, so they were able to at least see it, but to not physically be there, like, I couldn't imagine being that athlete or being that parent.
That's got to be just it's like I know some events were being planned with essential family members in attendance, but like to not have anybody there besides your teammates to support you.
Yeah. I mean, it was still like, it was kind of touching. Like the way gymnastics work, it's much different than a lot of other sports. Like they, it's a very tight-knit community, and they all kind of cheer for each other. And they were doing it even more so at this meet. But and I think they were it was intentional. Like, all the teams were all cheering for each other. Like, I took a picture and put it on Twitter. There was one girl from a small school. It's called South Central, very tiny 1A school, probably only a couple hundred students altogether, if that. She was doing her beam routine, and there was a line of, like, 20 gymnasts arm in arm watching her perform and cheering her every move. And it was a really cool moment. And I took a picture of it because, you see, she's on the beam. There's these 15, 20 girls watching her, and there's no one in the crowd. And, like, that will be – that will, from a sports perspective, that will be the lasting image for me from all of this from all this coronavirus stuff that's going on, is the picture of, like, that empty gym. I think that'll be the lasting memory for me for now. I mean, maybe things will change, and we'll see what happens.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. Dave Melton and Shepard Price here, still talking about, well, just whatever comes to mind. And because this is a hockey podcast, you know, we took some tangents with gymnastics, and I think we'll come back to a football one in a second here because, you know, there's a local football team that did some things today that we haven't mentioned yet. But, right, and they did some stuff yesterday too. Since we are a hockey podcast, let's get back to that sport. And I imagine the two biggest things that people are going to be doing, well, two of the biggest things people will be doing now, probably reading books and watching movies. And so in that vein, Shepard, do you have any – what's your hockey movie recommendations, or do you have a go-to hockey movie in your Netflix queue right now? It's a list now. It's not a queue.
Go ahead. I think it's a list. I don't know if this is on Netflix, actually, but both Miracle, the usual classic, the usual standard for hockey movies, especially in today. I think Miracle's on Netflix. But also Goon, the Jay Baruchel movie about enforcers. That's basically like the tale of John Scott.
Okay. And I've been told by several people that I should watch Goon, and I still haven't done it. And I'm told to not watch the second one, though, because the second one's stupid.
I have not seen the second one, but okay. This would probably be an ideal time to watch Goon.
Yeah, because it's probably, again, it's, you know, or if you want to do the Mighty Ducks trilogy, going back to being a 90s kid, the Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks movies are a large part of the reason of how I first got into hockey, because in my neighbor, very suburban area where I grew up, after those Mighty Ducks movies came out, I think it was after the second one, we had like between 15 and 20 kids between the ages of like 5 to 15. Everybody went and got hockey gear. We started playing street hockey because of those movies.
Well, so, I think that achieved the intended effect Disney had, who owned the Anaheim Ducks at the time.
There you go. Yeah, it worked well. But we're told, I think you mentioned this. You said you've never seen Slapshot.
I have never seen Slapshot.
You should. It's a classic. It's from the 70s, so some of the jokes probably don't hit the same way now that they did back then. But there's still plenty of great lines in it. And there's one that I have a buddy, Peter, who's the one that introduced me to this movie. I met him in college, and he talked about this line in this movie that he couldn't wait to say it. And I think is the first thing he said to me after we graduated. He goes, there's a line somewhere where they're introducing, I forget which player, but he goes, he's a college graduate and an American citizen. And it's not the best line, but it's just totally out of left field. And I can now say for several years now, and Shepard, I think you can say this too, because you're a grad student, you're a college graduate and an American citizen.
I am. Yes.
I think there's probably like 500 lines that are better, but that's the line that I remember because of the college thing. So there's that. But yeah, Slapshot's good. Miracle's good. Every time I watch Miracle, I want to go like play hockey, or like, I feel like I need to go get in shape to play the Russians in hockey, or the Soviets, I guess. But I mean, I usually don't, but it has that effect for like 5 or 10 minutes. I'm trying to think if there's any other hockey movies. I feel like there should be more hockey movies.
There definitely should be, and I've been trying to think of a hockey TV series as well, and I just can't think of a hockey TV series.
You know, I hope kind of hope they bring back the whatever they called the behind-the-scenes things that they did with the Hawks for the Winter Classic, not the 2010 one, The one in 2013 and 2015 were way more interesting than the 2010 ones.
Oh, the 24/7.
No, it wasn't that, because there was another one that it was just on, like, Flix or something. I can't. It's going to bother me. It's like, it's where the Joel Quenneville peanut butter thing came from. And I can't remember the name of it, and I'm sure somebody that's listening to this right now is screaming it in their car or in their office at us, and I apologize that I can't think of the name of it.
Hmm.
But all
oh,
of
I just,
you...
I thought of a hockey TV series.
Go ahead.
I think it's an honorable an honorable mention. Letterkenny. If a person out there has not seen Letterkenny, now would be the time to do that.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention it. Letterkenny's phenomenal. If you haven't started watching it, please do. Like, the show I compare it to a lot is Trailer Park Boys, which I didn't watch a ton of, but it's a very similar, very offbeat, weird sense of humor. If that's kind of your thing, you have to watch the show. And if you're a hockey fan, you doubly have to watch the show, because there's a million subtle hockey jokes. Like, they make a joke about Duncan Keith ice time in one of the episodes. So if you're not a hockey fan, you're going to miss some of these jokes. But if you are, you'll laugh three times as hard as your friends who are watching this with you. I love the show. I can't stop watching it. I can't stop talking about it. So do that. Also, it's actually on right now, concurrent with the Bulls game that they're playing tonight, but on NBC Sports Network, not Chicago, the NBC Sports Network, they're playing the Russian Five documentary. I know it's about the Red Wings, and we hate the Red Wings, yada, 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 but it's really interesting. There's I can't remember the name of it, but there's a Miracle on Ice documentary, but it's told from the perspective of the Soviet team, which is also fascinating, because obviously with them losing that game, they have a much different thought about that than we do. And I can't remember the name of that one either. That's another good hockey documentary that you can check out. Any more, Shepard? I need you to talk while I Google this, so I don't leave the people hanging out.
Let's do some book recommendations. As a grad student in journalism, but especially as someone doing sports journalism, I have a few really good book recommendations about hockey. If you haven't read Ken Dryden's The Game, the foundation of all hockey journalism books, I think that's one to read. That's as influential in hockey journalism as I think Jim Bouton's Ball 4 is.
Thank you for mentioning that book, because I've had that book for several years and I've never read it, and I will do that during this time. The movie thinking of, the Soviet hockey documentary, it's an ESPN 30 for 30. It's called Of Miracles and Men. There's another one that I'm probably going to watch over the course of this time. It's called Red Army. It's supposed to be an even better one, related to the rise of the Soviet hockey teams in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. So there you go. Those two are very good to watch. It's good hockey history stuff. If you're into hockey history, highly recommend those two. Now back to your book recommendation. Sorry.
The second one is Thin Ice, about the New York Rangers. I believe it's like a very Dave Halberstam-esque written book. And if you've read Dave Halberstam, you know how good those books are. He also has one on Jordan. So if you haven't read Dave Halberstam's book on Jordan, I think you should do that while we're watching the 1996 Bulls on TV.
I have it on another screen as we're talking right now, and they have Dennis Rodman and his rainbow colored hair. And I'm gonna watch so many of these Blackhawks and Bulls games. Oh, and Johnny Red Kerr, who's no longer with us. Like, oh, this is, I'm warping back to my childhood. I don't even have the audio on. I'm just looking at it, and I feel like I'm 12 years old again. I'm going to have to watch all of these games.
Dennis Rodman was so ahead of his time with that hair dye.
There's a Dennis Rodman documentary out there that just talked about him. You know, it was a 30 for 30. I should assume any good sports documentary is a 30 for 30, because they do a great job. There's a Dennis Rodman one. It's phenomenal. Highly recommend it. And if they come out with that, the 10-part series on the Bulls last season together, I will watch that. I won't leave the couch. I will watch all of that in one sitting, because I'm sure that's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, that one, that I think they're trying to bump up the production of that, because they realize this is the perfect time for it.
Yeah.
And it was slated for June.
While we're on the topic of hockey books, I have two more recommendations for you that are Blackhawks themed. One of them is the If These Walls Could Talk series, Chicago Blackhawks, done by Mark Lazarus, who still covers their team for The Athletic. There's a ton of great behind-the-scenes stories in that one. And then the Sam Fells book, Madison Street Station. Sam Fells is the former I don't know if he was the full editor, but he was a significant contributor to Second City Hockey about a decade ago through like 2014-ish. And he wrote a book from his perspective of watching the Hawks be really good, be terrible, and then come back in the last decade. So that's another book worth checking out. I'm trying to think if I have any more hockey books. I'm looking at my one shelf of sport books that makes me feel smart, and I got nothing else hockey-wise. I got Perseverance by Mark Trussman. You want to read that one?
By Mark Trussman?
Mark Trussman, Perseverance.
I mean, he had to persevere against his own incompetence in Chicago.
Hey, perfect segue. What do you think about Nick Foles?
I'm glad you guys got your quarterback. I don't think he's the best in the division.
I keep forgetting you're not a Bears fan, and I'm sorry that I always assume you're a Bears fan. You're a Lions fan, and it's okay. But
yeah, you still have. I'm glad you got rid of Mitch Trubisky.
Well, no, they still have Trubisky.
I think it's just a matter of time before you don't.
No, I think they're gonna go into the season with both of them, and they're gonna let them play it out, and then one of them will be back next season, and one of them will not be. And I hope to God they draft another quarterback this year so that you have – like this year it's probably between Foles and Trubisky, but you need another guy that can be your long-term answer, because I feel like Trubisky's not going to pan out at this point. Nick Foles is 31. He could be around for 2 to 3 years, but not for a decade. Right. So you need to have another quarterback. And just the way the NFL seems to work these days, you probably need 3 quarterbacks on your roster. You know, you need your starter, you need a backup, and then you need your project. And they don't have a project right now, so they need to go get one. Whether they do,
I think you do have a project. I don't think you have a starting quarterback. I think your project is Mitch Trubisky. I think your backup quarterback is Nick Foles, and I don't think you have a starter.
Well, I think the Trubisky project is about to end pretty soon. I feel like this might be his. I think he's going to be around for the next season, because I think him and Foles will probably each start games this season. I'm pretty confident that will happen, because that's just the way football has worked these days. I mean, when's the last time the Bears had a quarterback start all 16 games? Probably Cutler era. So,
yeah.
But Cutler was always hurt, because he'd get 19 concussions because they didn't have anyone who could block for him.
Y'all are a mess, and that's coming from a Detroit Lions fan.
Yeah, the Lions do anything in free agency yet?
We got Daron Harmon from the New England Patriots.
I don't even know who that is.
We got a defensive back. We got a really good defensive back.
We're happy for you.
if you want a quarterback and you don't want one in this draft, can I recommend watching the next season of the Texas Longhorns? Because I believe you'll find your quarterback there.
Who's that?
Sam Ehlinger.
Okay. I almost said Major Applewhite, who I think is a coach somewhere right now.
No, Sam Ehlinger, my baby boy.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I saw someone on – some Bears fan or someone say that the Bears should still draft Jalen Hurts in the second round from Alabama this year, but
not from Alabama. That man is from Oklahoma now. And
oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Sorry.
Therefore should be banned from Chicago.
what does Oklahoma have against Chicago?
Oklahoma has against Texas. I know I'm not a Bears fan, but I have to live in Chicago, and I don't want to hear about Jalen Hurts in the next decade of my life.
I forgot about the Oklahoma-Texas thing. I'm not up to date on my college football rivalries. I apologize.
Got to remember the Red River, which is basically the Green Bay-Chicago.
But much warmer and a lot more offense.
Yes. And a lot less defense.
Well, I'm running out of ideas. Shepard, what else do you want to talk about?
What else has happened? Somebody else got a new quarterback. Tom Brady has left the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
The dynasty is over, baby. Anybody can win.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl again.
Tom Brady should be stripped of his title as the greatest quarterback of all time. I think that should go back to Peyton Manning. And Bill Belichick should be crowned the greatest head coach in any sport of all time.
Yeah.
Especially because their plan is to start the season with Jared Stidham.
I legitimately don't know who that is.
He was the backup quarterback this entire season. Nobody knows who that is. If the Patriots somehow win the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick is the greatest mind in sports history.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument. I'm trying to talk to you, and I keep glancing over to this Bulls game from the 90s, and it's a time warp, man. Like, this game happened 24 years ago, and the United Center's still open. It's still the same building. It still kind of looks familiar, but it doesn't.
Yeah, because there's probably been renovations.
I don't know how much they've. I mean, you know, when you build something in the mid 90s, I'm sure it's required some work here and there, but it's not like they had to totally overhaul the interior of it like Soldier Field.
Yeah.
It's more – I guess just like watching and just like seeing the names. Like, obviously, all the Bulls guys, I mean, on the court now, they've got Pippen, Harper, Kerr, Luke Longley, and Rodman. But it's like the guys playing for the Heat. Like, Tim Hardaway's out here, and his kid is in college or in the NBA?
No, Tim Hardaway Jr. is a Nick, I believe.
That's right. His kid is in the league. Alonzo Mourning's playing in the game, who's mainly just a meme now. Pat Riley's coaching, and he's got an executive position. It's just – Steve Kerr's playing. He's a coach now. It's so bizarre seeing it. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but it definitely was a good while ago. All right, well, Shepard, I think it's time to bring this one in for a landing, because I'm running out of ideas to come up with off the top of my head. And we'll put this suggestion out here for anybody that's listening to this podcast. First off, thank you very much for listening to our insane ramblings for the last 30 to 40 minutes, however long it was.
We appreciate
that. And hopefully we gave you some entertainment or some sort of break from everything else going on in the world. And we're going to try and keep doing this. So we ask, if you have any questions or comments, things you want us to talk about, things you want us to rank, whatever you want, we will gladly hand over the production element of this show to the people who listen to it. You can tweet us, you can message us, you can comment on at secondcityhockey.com if you are signed up to comment at our website. You can email us at secondcityhockey@gmail.com. Whatever works for you, feel free to reach out and let us know, because otherwise Shepard and I, maybe we'll just do a live watch during one of the Blackhawks 2010 games that they're going to air, and we'll just sit and talk about how great the Blackhawks were in 2010.
Even if we do mailbags the rest of the way, let's do that. I want to rant about Marian Hossa for a period and about how much.
Oh my God! There was a play. I don't. It might have been Steve Sullivan. I tweeted this. I forgot Steve Sullivan played for Nashville in that series against the Hawks. Steve Sullivan was one of my first favorite Hawks. Him and Daze and Michael Nylander were a scoring line for like a couple months at one point, and they were awesome. And the one good season the Hawks had between the mid-90s and the late 2000s. And I love Steve Sullivan, so it's weird to see him on the other team. But there was a play where I think Sullivan had the puck, and Hossa was about 20 to 30 feet behind him, and it looked like three strides. Hossa caught up to him, stole the puck, and took off the other way. And it was just – just mind-blowing watching. You couldn't quite say prime Marian Hossa, but pretty damn close to it. And I think it just served as another reminder. I think you almost forget how good he was because he played for so long. And, you know, by the end of his career, he wasn't, you know, obviously Father Time caught up to him. But, goddamn, when he was in his prime and still near it those first few years in Chicago, whew. So, yeah, maybe that's what we'll do. We'll just watch a game and talk about how great Marian Hossa was. And I think that's a
plan.
Yeah. We'll do that one night next week for sure, because, like I said, we're going to have plenty of time for content. I think we can wrap this up. Shepard, any final thoughts?
Please be safe out there and social distancing. And unfortunately right now, if you're our age, don't hug your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, give your parents a call if you have the ability to do so.
Yeah, talk to your parents. Call your parents. Don't touch your parents.
Yeah, if your grandparents are still with us, please give them a call too. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Kind of wrote this at our message from earlier in the week, but feels like we should all be on the same team with this, so we can all get through this together. It's not going to be easy, but it feels like it's doable. So we all got to help each other out. Call each other. Talk to each other. Talk to each other. Whatever you got to do. Reach out to as many people as you can. Hopefully we have some good news in the upcoming weeks and months, and we can get back to some normal life and get back to sports a little bit. I think that'll do it from here. For Shepard, I'm Dave. Thanks so much for listening. Reach out to us on all the social medias and give us a good rating on iTunes if you're interested. And then please, for the love of God, wash your hands. So long.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.